see. I could go casual chic or dress for success.
With so many looks, picking out what to wear can be difficult. But with Walmart, picking out a fresh pair of glasses is easy.
Maybe it's an athleisure day.
That's because Walmart has top brands and styles for you to choose from. So it's easy to find the right frames for whatever you're feeling.
Here's my outfit of the day and the perfect pair of cat-eye frames to match.
New glasses to make your styles pop. Welcome to your Walmart. Valid prescription required.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor. We had the great old Discraft Great Lakes Open go down.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
The great old.
That's fun.
I think it was like the 41st annual or something crazy.
Yeah, head on the baskets.
Patreon question of the week. We'll get into that here in a second. A little Trevor's trivia. A question I want to pose. You know, it's always
pose
fun.
It, man.
I'm not going to pose it now. I'll pose it later.
He's going to pose it, though.
And then we
pose
gotta talk,
Malone.
We got to talk about some power rankings. But first, quick word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Your body deserves products that are not only skin safe, but made with safe ingredients. And that's where Manscaped's Platinum Package comes in. From razors to shower care, this package goes above the gold standard for your body hair. So treat yourself to the world's finest toys at manscaped.com and use our code GRIPLOCK for 20% off plus free shipping. The Platinum Package 4.0 is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. They designed this package to allow you to fully align your entire hygiene routine with elite products. Inside of it, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ears and nose hair trimmer, Ultra Premium body wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, Ultra Premium deodorant, Crop Reviver anti-chafing ball deodorant, Crop Reviver ball spray toner, anti-chafing boxers, the Shed travel bag to hold all your goods while traveling. The Lawnmower 4.0 body trimmer and Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate parts and holes. Both are waterproof so you can shave with less mess. The Platinum Package 4.0 covers all your bases from head to toe. So go to 20% off and free shipping with the code GRIPLOCK. That's one word, GRIPLOCK, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code GRIPLOCK. Use the Platinum Package because the gold standard is no longer good enough.
Oh, snap.
If you want to keep your man safe, use Manscaped.
That's right.
Hunter, you're kind of popping off there.
That was like...
I was reading it fast. Yeah.
That was very...
You know, it'd be a fun like shtick for GRIPLOCK, like our regular ad reads, to like time them so people can like watch us and see if I can...
I bet that the companies would love that. I was like trying to read it as fast as possible.
It'd probably get retention high though, because I'd watch to see if the guy could beat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Okay.
Maybe we'll pitch that to them in our next meeting.
Yeah.
All right. For the Patreon question of the week, or maybe we should just have like a segment.
Like, what if you like didn't hear most of the word, but it was fun?
Guys, none of these ads are real. Like, we just do them to make people think we're successful enough for ads.
I would be funny. Connor, dude. Like, nobody's ever like, I think back in the day, a lot of people used to be like, oh, wow, that's so cool. You're working with this company or that company, you know, when we work with certain bigger companies. But, you know, if we just like started coming out with like humongous companies, like would people like notice?
This show is built for tough. No, I don't think they would.
Probably
I don't think you have two fricks. Obviously, y'all love using the Manscaped code, and for a good reason, because Manscaped's great.
Yes.
That's why they've been with us for so long.
We should get a tire sponsor for Grip Locked. Makes sense. Grip.
You need tires?
I wouldn't mind some.
Let's get to the Patreon question of the week.
I think it's a food.
If you're wondering where this comes from, it's from our Patreon, patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. You can join the Heiser Club. You can actually get a 7-day free trial, and you can pop in.
It's the deal of the century. We
have a weekly podcast over there called The Mailbag, where we answer each and every question that's asked
all
to us.
Of them.
Some are disc golf related. Some are not disc golf related. Sometimes we have packages to open. Sometimes we don't.
It's the best
we
day
are more
of the
excited
week.
When we have packages to open than when we don't. But hey, we're excited every time either way. And there's a lot of other exclusive content, contests, discounts, exclusive access, all kinds of stuff. You can head over to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf to learn more. But this question comes courtesy of Nathan McMurray. He said,
come on, Nathan.
You're in charge of naming a hot sauce after disc golf terms or themes. What would each of your names be? Mm. And then he gave us two suggestions to kind of get the ball going. He said his would be the three putt or the Birdogie.
I love the three putt. I think the one I went with before was turn and burn. But
I think that's obviously the best one.
I think Heiser Bomb is a good one.
Heiser Bomb is
because it's kind of like the bomb, like the popular one there.
I think I'd probably go with Meat Hook.
Mead hook's good.
Or maybe go. Just a simple out of bounds.
Out of bounds, solid.
Or OB stroke.
I think I'm going to go... I want to come up with a new one. I don't want to say what
I think
said.
You said. I think you said...
I don't want to say what I said.
But it was good. It was fine. I liked it.
I don't remember what
Can
I said.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
I think Hunter said triple Mando.
Quadruple Mando.
Quadruple Mando. I like that.
That's but I want to come up with a new one.
Something spicy. Hey, what's something in disc golf that's like spicy?
Oh, mine will be called the halal shot. Spicy shot of the day. The
spicy shot of the day, dude. No. The halal guys.
I think you we're could, going...
The holy shot hot sauce is
the holy shot.
Holy
that's
shot hot
one.
Sauce? That's a good one.
Or
the albatross.
The albatross. The phylobatross.
Yep.
Get phylo in on that thing. I was going to say like, I don't know, something like
Black Ace.
Because I feel like, I feel like it'd be better to name the hot sauce after like Paul's emotions when the holy shot went in. But I don't know how to name it that. You know what I'm saying?
Just got thrown in on.
Big putt.
Just got dunked
Big
on.
Big putted.
Big putt.
There you go. Big putted.
There's a lot of good hot sauce names.
Footfall.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like footfall.
Wet tee pad.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, dang. Wet tee pad.
Wrong disc choice.
Oh, man.
Uneven turf.
That used to flip.
wrong turf the wrong way.
I used to be better than that.
Wrong way
that
grain.
That used to flip.
Don't nice me, bro, hot sauce.
Well, let's call it nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ooh, because the hot sauce nice is you.
Yeah.
Ooh.
There we go. See, we always come around. It goes around, comes around. Sorry about D-Glow.
The Discraft Great Lakes Open.
DGLO.
What is it? The good old? Or the
good old.
The good old.
Well, I think we all should start referring to it as DGLO since that's what Bert calls it.
Yeah, the DGLO.
I'm down. I'll do it.
That's very funny. Every reel, he's like, yeah, we're out here at the DGLO.
I mean, any normal person would jump to that conclusion.
That's true. D-Glow, baby.
But it's just funny. Did no one say, no like, one hey, said, call like, it D-Glow?
Well, I mean, what were you going to say? Like, you didn't say anything wrong.
I know, but yeah, you're
you
right.
Would have thought, you would have thought, like, everyone had been calling it D-Glow.
It's funny. Whenever you say DGLO, I almost don't recognize that name.
If they, put a, they threw a stat
if a teleprompter was put in front of me and it said DGLO,
I'm reading
I would,
D-G-L-O.
I would say
no, absolutely.
D-G-L-O.
He didn't do anything.
Connor, back off.
Yeah, Connor, dude. Hop off Burt Kreischer's back.
Yeah, dude.
What the frick, dude?
Get off the bear's back, bro.
He's going to bite you. They put on Disc Golf Network a like stat. They popped a stat up, and it said LDGO. I'm imagining they just misspelled D-Glow. Because I was trying to think of like what tournament is that they're talking about? It was like standings for like points.
Yeah, no,
and it said LDGO. I was like, oh, it's Ledgestone. I was like, no. Maybe, but no, right?
Lakes Discraft Great Open.
Yeah,
I think it had to be D-Glow. And they
I think it was a miss
put
type.
The L in the wrong spot.
They were really just
but it really threw me for a loop for a second.
Yeah.
Anyway,
L-Go.
L-Go. Some results here. On the FPO side, we had Owen Scoggins taking down her first ever Elite Series. Ella Hansen came in second. Kat Murch came in third. Owen Scoggins proved you wrong, Trevor. She made you eat your words. She can win. She did win.
She did. Congratulations. No, listen. When I put the can't win curse on somebody, it's not that I don't want them to win. Congratulations, Owen, breaking the curse. And to be fair, Owen, yeah, come on.
We should have made you wear a shirt that said, like, I got owned.
I got owned. And to be fair, like, Owen, it was always more of a question of just her age. Like, she can't throw as far. She's always a very skillful player. You know, so yeah, congrats to Owen though. That's great for her. I'm glad she was able to get an Elite Series.
This
win.
Was not a tournament I thought she was going to win. I put her in the top three on predictions because like
yeah,
at this point, especially in a field without Paige Pierce and Krista Tatar, Owen Scoggins is the constant. So I obviously had her in my top three, but
she's very consistent.
I really thought this was going to be, I thought it was going to be Holland Hanley's weekend. It could have been,
yeah.
But Ella Hansen. Maybe I'm wrong for this, but I always just put her and Holland Hanley in the same category. And Ella Hansen was up there.
Yeah.
She was in and out of contention. It seemed like, so Ella Hansen gained 4 strokes in the final round. Most of them, though, came at a time where it didn't really matter, to be completely honest. When I was watching the coverage, it felt like if there was a stroke that mattered, Ella Hansen didn't get it. And if there was a big putt that didn't matter or was just to maintain pace with Owen Scoggins, she was hitting those.
That was kind of like, I feel like I've seen that out of a few FPO players this year, the ones that are kind of just like can't quite get over the hump, and Ella would be one of them. You know, we saw her kind of collapse earlier
at Waco.
Yeah, there's just a few of them where I've seen that so often where they will climb back in to where it's like, okay, a 2-stroke swing here and we really got something. And then they'll miss that crucial putt that gets you just close enough to apply pressure. And, you know, she was really the only one that could apply pressure in that final round. Owen was, I think she ended up going wire to wire. I believe I saw that. And that's awesome. Good for Owen. There wasn't really a challenge.
No, because so if you look at the scoreboard, Owen Scoggins won by two. That's closer than it actually was. She had four strokes going into 18, bogeyed it to Ella Hansen's birdie, which cut it. But
yeah, it was over.
You aren't going to lose four strokes on 18. 18's a tough hole, but it's not that tough.
Right.
And so it was over. It was just one of those, like, she won. Yeah. So there's nothing more to play for. So she won by two. It was an impressive tournament for Owen Scoggins.
How many strokes did she gain on the field putting?
Let's take a look at it.
I think I saw people chatting about how...
Gained putting 10.92.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
It's pretty significant.
She led the field in C1X putting at 92%.
Dang.
And she was third in the field at Circle 2 putting at 20%.
What about OB rate?
She had five OBs. Ella Hansen had 10.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's where Ohm will beat you, right? Like, Ella was the one in contention, and that's where she'll beat you, where she will keep the disc in play because she doesn't throw super far, but she'll keep it in play, and she'll get up and down because she can putt. Like, she puts... She really has a different putting ceiling than a lot of the FPO players have. You see a lot of the FPO players' putting ceiling come in even in the mid-80s of percent for C1X, and Owens is certainly into that in the mid-90s.
Now, here's a stat for you.
It gets you a lot of strokes out there.
There is a player who finished inside the top 10.
Okay.
Okay?
I like this.
And led the field, which is not a good stat to lead the field in amount of OB throws. Who was it?
Inside the top 10?
Yes.
Missy Gannon.
No, it was Haley King.
It was my second guess. Dang it. Yeah, no, that's King. Not a shocker. She sprays it.
Well, no, but what was surprising is how many. She had 24 OB strokes.
And she had, how many did she end up losing by?
She lost by 19 strokes total.
Yeah, so she would have tied.
Owen Scoggins had five OB strokes. Yeah, so
that's the difference.
If they had the same OB strokes, Haley King ties Owen Scoggins.
No, like for the longest time now, that has been the FPO field where... keeping the disc in play, because like Kristen is phenomenal and she's very good at disc golf, but one of the things she does the best is she can putt. Absolutely, she's a solid putter, and when her putter's on, she's very good, but she will keep the disc in play and she plays smart and she just kind of waits out everybody else to make mistakes. And you know, that's why it doesn't, you know Owen winning, it certainly was probably coming because of just the nature of the field and Kristen not being there as well. So yeah.
I predict that Owen was going to win last weekend.
You're
I
one off.
I put Chick-fil-A on it. I was one off. So you're I lost to Chick-fil-A there. We had another shocking performance out of Katrina Allen.
Troubling.
This one was worse than last week.
What was it? What was the strokes last week to this week?
I think it was 25 last week.
I thought the first one this season was 25 and last week was
maybe
more.
28. I don't know. This was 37.
37. New record?
Yeah. At what point?
Do we need to start like doing a PR?
Can I have a shock line of like when she crosses this?
Well, no, because if it's if it's consistent, it's not shocking. True. That's the problem. It's like,
God.
That's where the only time
it's going to be shocking is if she wins.
There you go.
No, but she's won this year too. At this point, maybe.
So
if she
loses by two.
No, at this point, I'm not even kidding you. The most shocking thing she could do is rattle off like five top fives in a row.
Because that's what I was about to
say. That would
right
be shocking.
Now, the thing that's consistent is that she's inconsistent.
Yes.
So the thing that would be shocking is that she starts to become consistent at being consistent.
Exactly. Like,
I'm in the belief.
Five top fives in a row, and I'd be like, she's really turned it around.
I'm in the belief that she's injured. I'm blocked on all social media, so I can't see anything.
Dude, no injury posts. They're not coming through.
But I'm in the belief. I'm in the camp that she's injured. Mainly, this is a course... If you've been watching Grip Lock for a while, I used to call Katrina Allen the greatest thrower of the disc in the field.
Yep,
because
I
she just sucked at putting.
I wondered, at this point, has the pressure just got to her? Like, does she have Kakorafiaphobia out there? Like, is there just...
Something's going on.
I just don't know what's happening at this point.
Yeah. Well, if you look at her stats, like, she used to be queen of the fairways, I guess we can call her. Okay. Not today. 55% fairway hits, 13 OB strokes. I mean, she didn't have a good stat. To be fair, she lost six
She's not
strokes.
Playing well.
She lost six strokes gained tee to green, which is Whoa. Normally her forte. She lost four strokes on the putting green, and she threw away 13 strokes to OB.
Austin Hannum played well.
Maybe it's a give or take. Like
yeah,
only
wait.
One.
Yeah, wait. Does only one half of the couple play well each week?
Maybe.
We need to look into that.
No, but it wouldn't surprise me if she had a nagging injury and she's playing through it and like doesn't want to draw attention to it. And so she's like, because she is a player who. The whole reason I got blocked, I always make a joke about it, but the whole reason I got blocked was because
she's posted anything.
I talk about players on social media about their performance on the course like I'm doing right now, and she didn't want to see it. She didn't want any of the noise.
Blocking
she's
out
very
noise.
Much like block out all of the noise person, and so she blocked me. That's where it came from. So it wouldn't surprise me if she was a similar thing of like she doesn't want people making her excuses
for her. Last post was on August 5th. It was for Happy National Disc Golf Day, and she said, "Enjoy this throwback to a younger, smoother, and more confident throwing version of me." Somebody who captioned a post like that, don't want to read into it too much, is probably not feeling confidence in their
game.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, so, I can read into the scorecard and tell you that. Because she is still...
Blocked.
It doesn't matter what... It doesn't matter what her score shows. She is one of the most talented FBO players, period. She what she is capable of out there...
She won two world titles, you know?
What she is capable of out there only is really eclipsed by Kristen Tatar and Paige Pierce.
Sure.
Realistically. What she's capable of, it's just she's 37 strokes off of Owen Scoggins.
That's just a lot of like... If you went into that tournament and you like and your cat and somebody tells you you are going to lose nine shots around to Owen Scoggins, you'd be like, that's not even possible. I could jump putt around the course and not do that, and that's just what happened.
It's crazy.
That's a lot of strokes. That's like a whole... That is just a lot of strokes.
Now, across the pond, the European Disc Golf Championships went down. This is a phenomenal event. I've heard of it before, but basically...
The old European.
Only European-born players are allowed in, right? And you wear the colors of your country.
Is that allowed? Yeah, sure it is.
I don't know, yeah.
President's Cup.
You wear the colors of your country for the entire week, so it's like a country pride thing. And it was apparently a title that Kristen Tatar hasn't had before and has been longing for. She went rounds 1, 2, and 3, was putting on an absolute clinic. Like round two, we don't really go into ratings on this show,
but we might 1054
rated round two. Mm-hmm. One of the highest rated FPO rounds of all time. I think the highest was 1059 we looked up.
Yeah, something like that. Jonesboro, so, Paige Pierce.
Essentially, you put them on different courses, it's the greatest FPO round of all time. One of them, by all means, and she had built this incredible lead. No one could even come close to her. But then round four happened. She still won, don't worry. But she shot 8 over at this course to get her total for the tournament to 11 under. It was still enough to win by 3 strokes because she's Kristen. But it did bring up a lot of questions. She was very emotional at the award ceremony. Some people were leaning into she got hurt during that final round. And some people initially, the rumor was that she re-hurt her elbow that she had surgery on. Hopefully that's not the case. Other people said that she's told something, and obviously she doesn't speak English when she was doing interviews in Europe, in Estonia, but she told someone, and they translated it, that she hurt her hand. I haven't seen that clip. Someone just commented
people
that.
People were reading into it a lot because she was emotional, which is fair enough, and she played really bad, obviously. But, like, you know, she had kinetic tape on her elbow. Well, that's... I think she wears that all the time.
Yeah.
That's very typical with people with a history of injury on their joints.
I will say... 8 over in the final round, and like she did let her competitors back into it. Like she still won by 3, but she did open the door a little bit.
Maybe she was just a little bored.
That is un-Kristen like.
Maybe she was just bored.
So it does point like there could be an injury of some type. I haven't seen any posts from her.
Injury would make sense.
I haven't seen any posts from her to say, and she typically is very open about it. Like normally if there is an injury, she doesn't like go in and like make it as an excuse, but she's normally like update you a lot.
Hopefully she's healed
up
now for
once. I'm gonna say if it is an injury, it's just more of like she got hurt. Like something hurt her that final round where it's not like an ongoing thing she's worried about. Because I think if it was, she would have made a post. But maybe she's trying to get it diagnosed and she's gonna make a post later. It is troubling though, that final round.
Is that word again?
but yeah, hopefully she's not injured.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna do. If Kristen's hurt, and we got to watch, I mean...
Well, I'm going to be honest. Watching D-Glow, the FPO field needs Kristen Tatar. They need it. They need Kristen Tatar, Paige Pierce healthy, and Katrina Allen back in confidence, what the FPO field needs. If we go into Worlds, and if Kristen's injured, let's just lean into that narrative. Kristen's injured, Paige Pierce obviously isn't going to be able to play, and Katrina Allen might as well be injured. Worlds is wide open. Paige Hsu might repeat and win at GMC again. Is when she won her last one in 2018.
Yeah. Who, All right, let's break it down right now. If that scenario, if Katrina still is playing really bad,
yep.
Well, let's not even say that. Let's just say with no Paige and if Kristen were out, who's going to win Worlds?
If no Paige and Kristen's out,
yeah.
I mean, can we say Kat's going to play bad?
Sure.
Because I would still pick Kat.
You would?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Losing 9 strokes around like that.
But you flip a coin.
You're right.
She's won twice this year. You just
yeah,
said.
That's for sure.
If we're going to say Kat's playing bad, period, then Valerie Mandahano would be my pick.
Why, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. That's what I'm saying. Well,
if you look at the courses, I mean, you could go the Owen Scoggins would be the safe pick.
I think it would be Owen.
But I don't think these courses play super well to forehand, and she's not scared to try backhands. She's just not as good at it. So, I think she would be trying a lot more backhands than she...
Get owned 2023.
But Kristen's going to be back. Kristen's going to win, and we're not going to worry about it.
Get owned 2023.
Okay, yeah. Let's go to MPO side. We had Simon Lazat taking down Eagle McMahon coming in second, and then
the leaping
Lazatl. Chris Dickerson and Cole Radalin tying for third.
Fun leaderboard, man.
It was a very fun leaderboard. It was a very exciting tournament overall. This is Simon's second win of the year. He had a very strong close to this tournament because I think he didn't have the strongest round one, if I'm not mistaken.
His round one, he was only...
5 under.
5 under. He was 9 under after 2 rounds.
4 under, yeah. And then went 11-10.
Yeah, he finished...
Which 21 under, which is what he did for 2 rounds, would put him in the... He would have been in 6th, 7th place.
Yeah, his final 2 rounds were absolutely ridiculous. And Simon, you know... We had kind of already seen a glimpse of what we came to expect from Simon last year. Obviously, he won 5 times or whatever, but he's never really been super consistent in between. Although when you have that many wins, there's not even that much time in between wins. Mm-hmm. He was just cleaning up at one point part of the season. And I think that this year, with it now getting a second win, and right now there's only one guy with 3 Elite Series wins.
Yeah, the player of the year talk's very
so yeah, he gets himself back into that conversation because if he could get a third win, you know, who knows what could happen. And guess what's coming up soon?
What?
MVP.
Ooh.
Is he not the defending champion of that tournament? Mm-hmm. I believe, yeah. Simon has cemented himself once again as a player who is not the most consistent on tour, but when he's at his best and the course kind of fits what his play style, he is darn near impossible to beat. His putt was working. You know, when his putt is on, it's such a thing of beauty. He was smoothing all his drives out there. He was getting his angles down. Yeah, he just couldn't. It was one of those rounds where, he had, it was basically a him and Eagle duel going into that final round. Gets a 2-stroke swing on the first hole and then just put the foot on the gas and said, nobody's catching up to me the rest of this round.
Yeah. There was more in it than just him and Eagle, but they were tied.
Right. And Eagle just never gave them a chance to get back into it. At the end of the day, with the score that Simon shot, nobody was going to catch him.
No.
It was up to Eagle, and really Eagle just had that tough break at the beginning.
Yeah, Eagle had a bogey on 1 and a bogey on 16.
Yeah.
And that was basically all she wrote. That was the story.
That bogey on 1 was brutal.
Yeah, because that was a rollaway, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just hit it rollaway.
But it was, I believe, Stat Mando put this out, and I hope I don't butcher the stat because I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was the first time ever Simon and Eagle were on a lead card in the final round of an NT or Elite Series.
It's true.
Yeah, which is crazy to think because they've been...
They have gone... I think they said they had gone 1-2 before. It was at a Memorial that Simon won, but this is the first time they were on a... So, yeah, it was it was very funny because, we've been out of the, Crush Boys era for, maybe a year, and not even... And I was still when they said it, I was kind of that's okay. That's a cool stat. And I was like, oh yeah, they're kind of the guys. They were boys. I'm sure they're still friends, but they were the Crush Boys. This is a really cool thing that we're seeing them compete on League Card. I think it's because it's funny because Eagle's been hurt. Simon's had an injury pass. Their games have kind of evolved a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was still awesome. And they still throw really far.
This is also the first time Eagle and Command's ever lost at D-Glo.
Yeah.
He played it twice, won it twice. And then now he just came in second.
Eagle, he played fine and he did some heroic things. I mean, that shot on, was it 15, the one where he went over the top with that roller angle?
Yeah.
And then made the long putt. I mean,
I believe that was 15.
That was just heroic.
His putt, 15 was 27 feet. That's a par four.
Yeah, no.
13, he hit a 70-footer.
It was 13 then. Yeah, it was 13.
Par two. So, or par three. Yeah, two.
It was the 500-foot one or whatever.
Yeah, 526.
Yeah. So he threw that crazy shot. Like, he did. He made some heroic plays to get himself, like, keep himself in the mix. He just threw some bad shots as well. He had quite a few drives where he was, like, trying to throw hyzer flip to turns and letting him go early left. Like, he was really struggling with that line, and it just wasn't enough. It was going to take a lot.
Now, one storyline we got to touch on, Calvin Heimberg was in the mix.
Dude, Calvin.
He wasn't in it. Well, he was in it.
Oh, he was in
the final round, but he was in the mix.
He was tied for the lead. I mean, he was a few holes ahead, but he was tied a good way into that round.
Well, yeah, because the dude had two eagle throw-ins.
Like 250 plus feet.
One was hole six, 297-foot throw-in.
Yeah.
Then he birdies hole seven, birdies hole eight, birdies hole nine, and then has a 278-foot eagle throw-in on hole 10.
Seven under through five holes, and that just doesn't happen, like, period, and on that course, on that stretch, that'll never happen again.
I saw someone posted the video. I don't know if it was the Pro Tours post or he posted it, because that both happened, but Ezra commented and was like, if you don't stop, people are going to actually believe our ace post.
I was thinking the exact same thing when it happened. And it was crazy because it was one of those things where I'll give the Pro Tour Network props. Like, it actually played out on coverage really well because he had thrown the first one a few holes back. Okay, whatever. That was awesome. And then we're on the lead card and you hear just the loudest roar. And that could only really be from the chase card because that there's not huge galleries everywhere. And, you know, I'm kind of like, whatever. But then, you know, they don't spoil anything. They just get to the shot of Calvin, to the playback. And as soon as you see it switch to him getting ready to throw, you're just thinking, absolutely no way.
It was the same thing with the ace at Ledstone.
Yeah, you're just like, there's absolutely no way that Calvin's about to do this because he had just done it already. So it was just disbelief. And then watching it go in, it was really well done on coverage. And it was crazy. Like, such a low chance, like, play. Two throw-ins from that distance. It was awesome.
Well, because at Ledgestone, you were on, I forget what hole we were on. I think that it was still the ace. It just happened. So Andrew Marwee just threw in on hole seven for an ace. And then Ricky's putting, and you just hear a roar.
Yeah.
And the commentators go, man, a roar happened from somewhere down the course. Or something like that. And that's all they touch on. And they were obviously covering Calvin. So then Ricky makes the putt, and it cuts to Calvin.
Yeah.
Tee shot. And then all they said was, and here's Calvin teeing off on hole 10. And so then you watch the ace, and you still, like, the whole flight, you're like, wow, that looks really good. But you don't know that's where the roar came from.
Yeah.
Because there's a chance the roar comes from, you know, somewhere, you know, hole 12 of the water tower, and there's a bunch of people there, and there's not on coverage.
Well, yeah, it's like this mixture. Whenever you see it, whenever I saw it, panda Calvin, it was just a mixture of like, oh my gosh, he just threw it in, and like, surely not. Like, there's still like that little like disbelief because you're like, surely they're just panning to his shot next, but there's no way that he throws this in. Crazy. And for a second there, you know, he got tied to the lead, obviously a few holes ahead, but I was like, I'll tell you what, Calvin is about to tear this course up, have two throw-ins, and just shove the whole narrative he's been fighting from us mainly right down our throats. Like, it's about to be just like a statement win.
But instead,
it wasn't.
Instead, you get the whole 14 bogey, 15 bogey.
He was playing
16 birdie, 17 bogey, 18 par.
He was playing really aggressive. I applaud that because, like, he kind of had to get back into it. And his mistakes were ultimately him trying to. I mean, when he went OB that first time, that was new OB. It was really a tough break. But he was playing super aggressive, and that's how what he had to do. It was going to have to be just a fairy tale round.
Yeah.
But it was fun to watch. It was very fun to watch him pushing and everybody kind of pushing. There was a lot of emotion in that final round. Rodon and Dickerson were playing solid for a lot of that round.
They did nothing.
They made
nothing
some
wrong.
Great putts. Kevin Jones was trying to push. He was just missing a few crucial shots, but there was a lot of excitement.
Well, he would have finished in solo third, but he double bogeyed 18. He even had a putt to be what would have ended up being tied for third, missed that.
Well, Rodon missed the most valuable putt. He had a putt for solo third and missed it, and it was a pretty makeable one, and I got to imagine that putt would have been worth a good amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, nothing crazy, because he still finished tied for third.
You
split
third
and fourth together. He lost half the money he could have if he would have.
When you get that high up in Elite Series, those putts start getting worth. I mean, probably over $500.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for a 30-footer.
For a guy that just won last week and took him 12 grand.
Yep, still a lot of money. He's probably only made like, he's probably made 20 something this 36 year.
36 grand this year.
Yeah.
Without D-Glo in there, so.
$500 still a lot of money to him. I mean, he Venmo'd me for it. He asked me to Venmo him for his Chick-fil-A. He was good on that.
They don't have payout out yet. It's depressing.
I just like it as a storyline that, like, I like that our purses have at least gotten to the point where, like, that putt that he missed, like, you could tell he was upset about it because, yeah, points-wise, he's still going to get third-place points, but that was worth a good bit of money.
So the difference between third and fourth in FPO is $1,400. So tying third and fourth would be like $700.
Yeah, that's a costly putt to miss right there.
It's just something when I was watching golf and the stroke was like Victor Hovland just made $1.4 million with a putt, like that was the difference between first and second. And we're talking $500. That's where my mind scales. Like,
well, you got to scale their net worths.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that's why I'm like $700. Like, if it was like $2,000, I'd be like, oh frick, yeah.
I mean, I would
miss a putt for $700.
Yeah, I was about to say, someone puts you in front of the basket and says $700. Yeah.
That's where my mind is coming from. I watched Victor Hovland, and like the difference between first and second was $1.4 million, and like that's what a putt's worth.
That is your mistake. Take four zeros away.
Yeah, it's. I mean, yeah, bigger numbers.
Five zeros away.
But dang. I think I mean
six. $1.4 million to
also tours in a van. I'm pretty sure.
Something crazy.
It's a lot of tanks of gas. $700.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know where this just got thrown in, but to you audio listeners and visual listeners, it might look like just a random cut just happened because we got up and we walked away post recording the show and we remembered we didn't talk about probably one of the biggest storylines from D-Glo. So we had to turn around our butts and walk back to the desk.
Sometimes we're silly
to
gooses.
Sit down and talk most into of the this.
Times we're silly well, gooses. Get credit where credit's due. You had it in your notes.
It's in my notes. And I just skipped it.
We just like fast forwarded and yeah, we just missed it. We started talking about stupid stuff.
So anyways, we got to talk about hole 16. So if you didn't watch coverage and you aren't aware, basically what happened is 16 is this par 3.
Jaw dropping.
It's like an island green, but there's not a drop zone. If you cross the island, there's a drop zone if you're short.
Yeah.
Eagle McMahon throws OB. Simon Lazat's in the driver's seat now.
Up by 3 at this point.
And so he does a very big brain play, we'll call it, because he realizes if he throws deep of this island, it's like a 400-foot hole. If he throws deep of this island, he has like a 16-footer for par. So it takes out pretty much, because if you go for the island, you got to go under this tree. By going over the tree, it takes out all risk as long as you have enough power.
Yeah, if he crosses anywhere, dissects that island, he is in a better position than Eagle. Because Eagle is going to the drop zone, he would be going somewhere way up by the basket.
So he just grabbed a disc and just launched a full power shot into the woods deep.
Never in my life have I been so confused watching coverage. The commentators were confused. Literally, you just see the disc go up out of frame. It looked like it went straight up in the air because he had to get it up in the air to get over the trees. So in my mind, I was like, my first thought was that disc upside down? Did he just throw a grenade? And then you just see cameras panning around and then zoom on an area that's presumably way long out of bounds. And like, we were also, I was like, what did Simon just do? Like, what was he thinking? And then they get the drone shot and the commentators, I'll give them credit. They pieced it together pretty quickly. And then they finally show you the higher view of the shot and you can see what Simon was doing, just throwing a full power shot. Like his goal was to land nowhere near that island. He just wanted to go through it. I've never been so astounded, and it was hilarious.
It gained him a stroke on Eagle. Yeah. When it was all said and done.
It was very funny.
It gave him a U-disc counted as a 16-foot tap-in for par.
Absolute disaster if you're a course designer.
Yeah, apparently Nate Heinold wasn't too happy, which makes sense. But, I mean, really, all OB should have went to the drop zone.
We've always had our issues with that rule.
It's a weird
one. In general, where you would have the idea that you would have bad shots just get far enough that they'd go out of bounds. And like, anytime you have a par 3 where a guy can throw a shot that's really should be punished, but because he goes OB near the basket,
he's going to OB in the right spot.
You go OB in the right spot and you have a short putt. Like, and it's a tough one because if you want to bring the OB in close to baskets, which they do a lot at D-Glo, that's good. It makes the course harder, but you can't have that rule then, at least on that situation with the island.
Well, it's just something that,
because it's like,
this is the only scenario it would have come into play.
But yes and no.
It was not an easy shot what Simon did. There's
to be fair, his shot was not a piece of cake.
There's maybe four or five guys in the field, maybe more, but by looks of it, you had to throw 400, you had to throw almost 500 feet. It was downhill, but you had to throw it up over trees. So like a lot of guys couldn't do
that.
That
one
shot.
Wasn't that one wasn't 500, was it? I think that
396.
Yeah, that one was that was.
But
yeah.
I'm saying it's probably like 500 feet of power.
Yeah, no, it was
going,
a rip.
You're going,
and he cleared it
you
easily.
You have to clear the island. You can't throw that shot and mess up and be short.
It's the rare scenario.
You're the idiot that missed short.
It's the rare like situation where you have OB and near a basket close enough that there's incentive, and then you also have a throw where there is room to go up. Because there, if you had a lot of holes where even if there's not an island, but it's like, wow, this hole is so difficult, like trying to go down the fairway, but I can just launch it long and take an easy par. Like there could be holes like that.
Sure, but then you're like ace running at that point.
Right, well, it's a rare combination of things. It was so funny. Yeah. Oh, it was the best.
I will say the commentators kind of fell in love with this intentional OB. So I don't know if you heard it, but like Eagle crushed a shot on 18.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it looked like he was trying to turn a disc over and didn't get the turn and just went OB. And Doss immediately goes, I think he was trying to throw that OB because he knew it would get him to the corner. You get him down for the par there. I think that was an intentional OB shot.
I love it.
And I was like, I think you're just still swooned by Simon's shot a few holes ago.
Hey, I don't know, though.
Eagle did. I mean, to be fair,
he was kind of locked in place, so maybe he was just like, whatever.
Well, that's what Doss was saying. If he guaranteed the par, then he knew he was locked into second. Like, it was a par. So that was what Doss was trying to say. And to be fair, Eagle did go OB by, like, 70 feet. So there is a chance. But there's also a chance that Eagle just tried to turn something and didn't turn. Like, he was just being, like...
And that was happening a lot.
Like, he was just ticked off and wanted to get as far up there and, like, maybe try to throw in for Eagle just for the sake of it. Which I think... That's what I thought was going on when I watched it. Mm-hmm. But they immediately grasped onto... I think he was trying to get himself the best possible spot by just ripping the shot OB straight.
I was like,
you know what?
The intentional Maybe. OB. Put in the comments below, was Simon's play genius? And also, is the intentional OB, should it be removed or is it part of the game now?
I think it's part of the game.
Comments below.
But you can comment that below. Also comment below, what is Deagle going to look like next year? Because that's definitely not going to be able to happen.
Yeah, well, I can tell you for free that won't be the way that hole's played anymore. Yeah,
it'll be interesting if like all OB shots go to a drop zone.
It's a silly idea to put in an island, but be like, well, if you cross the island, you take out all the teeth of the island hole. Like a lot of shots on an island hole will get somewhere near the island.
Well, I would imagine the heart behind that is like if you threw down the middle and you like trickled OB up there, you threw a good shot and you just got.
They just don't make it an island hole though. It's when they add it, make it an island.
Well, it's because
hole.
Like if you miss short, they don't want you to re-tee. It's the whole reason the drop zone's there.
Yeah, imagine 17 at USDGC and all you do is blast it into the water like I did in that video.
Yeah,
and then you went straight there. Well, like, and had
that's
a par putt.
I feel like that's a different essence.
It is.
Though.
It is. Yeah. It is. Because
this was a 400 foot par three, hard enough hole.
Yeah, well, it'll be different next year.
It will definitely be different next year
for sure.
Okay, well, back to the regular scheduled programming. We just couldn't post this episode and not have this in here. So
that was
there.
Silly.
We go. We covered it.
It's like four.
Dickerson. California. So Dickerson performed very well out here. Came in third place, tied for third with Cole. This is a good time for Dickerson to get hot because the guy is very good at GMC. Choked it away last year because he started playing soft. And
I can smell it coming from a mile away that Dickerson's going to win Worlds. I can smell it.
It would turn a lot of things around. It's the guy's a major champion, USDGC.
I think that
Worlds at GMC plays into his favor, plays into his hands.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I mean, Ricky's hanging around. Ricky's always good at GMC.
Yeah, he's just kind of chilling, taking like top 10s
right now.
He's
not having a bad
now.
Season by any means. He's not winning.
Well, he's got two wins.
Yeah, but I'm saying like look at his season.
The top
here.
Is three right now. For like past season standard, yeah. But I
well,
mean,
it's just like every week he's not like podium.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, he hasn't been getting
his
in
wins
contention
come from
as
the
much.
Preserve. He only has one win, unless I'm crazy. Yeah, just the Preserve.
Oh,
his other
silver,
one's
a
silver.
A silver.
So he has one win.
You're right.
But everything else, like, he's just not playing bad.
Yeah.
Like, the Open at Austin was his first tournament back. He, I believe, DNF'd. But then he goes 8th, 6th, 11th, win at a silver, 9th, 6th, 18th, win at the Preserve, 5th, 6th at European Open, 3rd at Ledgestone, 10th at Idlewild, and then 8th here.
He hasn't been in contention on the stretch as much. I've seen him, like, a lot of, like, chase or third cards.
You're just not hearing his name, but he's doing fine.
Yeah.
So he's in, like, a sleeper position where he could easily pop off and win Worlds.
Yeah.
It's Rick. Paul should be back. You have to pick Paul in your top three for Worlds because 10 years in a row, you'd be right. Mm-hmm. So you got to do that.
I feel like that year Dickerson won USDGC was kind of like that too, where like that was just like the crowning achievement of that season. Maybe I'm wrong, but
it was his 2020 season.
Yeah, well, I guess there wasn't a whole lot of disc golf played that season.
There wasn't
it was
a ton.
The only major
2020.
What else did he win? Anything else? I just remember it being like maybe just...
He won a bunch of A and B tiers. He came in 8th at DDO, 2nd at D-Glow, 2nd at Idlewild, 3rd at Ledgestone, 13th at GMC, 5th at Maple Hill, 2nd at Music City, 1 USDGC, 2nd at the Tour Championship.
So he didn't win anything else. So that, yeah, I remember it being that kind of season, and there wasn't as many events that year, but where it was like, that was kind of a big win. I can kind of sniff it, because we were kind of cooling off on Chris Dickerson. He wasn't playing so well at the beginning of the year. He
did just come 30th at Idlewild, though.
Yeah, he does heat up a little bit towards the end of the season, and I could totally see him, I mean, or even repeating at USDGC. I can for sure see him just snagging a major and just kind of turning a not great season into an awesome one. Like, that's all it would take, is win a major.
Worlds is going to be very interesting, because you have a lot of players right now.
5 rounds, too.
You have a lot of players right now that a win at Worlds puts them top of the list for player of the year. Like, there's, what, 3 or 4 guys?
Simon, Gannon, Calvin.
Ricky has a win.
Rick is borderline, borderline.
You're there. Isaac Robinson. Because then you have two majors. That's
yeah.
the equivalent of like 4.5 wins.
It's a jumbled up mess right now. Yeah.
Real, and all of those players have a chance at GMC. Absolutely. Isaac Robinson, very sleeper chance. Like, dude, I think not a lot of people are talking about
it. It'd be
him.
Sick if Isaac Robinson just like each year was cleaning up 1 to 2 majors.
Like, what if he just wins?
Didn't really win a ton of other events and just winning majors.
Major guy. He's Brooks Koepka.
I mean, if they keep holding that Champions Cup at WR for the extended history of it, I mean, he's going to be tough to beat out there.
I'd agree.
He's going to be real tough.
But it'll be a very interesting world championship coming in. Now, I'm trying to look down here. Anyone that was surprisingly bad this weekend? I mean, I feel like I would have expected Marweed or Presnell to do a little better out there. Ben Calloway's done good out here in the past and do great. Proctor, I picked in my top 3, came in 33rd. Thanks, man. the proctologist. Let's actually take a look here. Because now we're going into the next playoff event eventually. There'll be another cut.
It's like, what, 3 weeks from now?
Yeah, and there's a bunch of tournaments in between now and then, so yeah. The playoffs don't really mean anything. We can talk about that if we want. I don't understand the playoffs. I want to wrap my mind around it, but like, this is what happens here. You have D-Glow playoff next week, which, to be fair, this is probably going to be the weakest field of the year, the AFDO.
Rochester, you don't want to go?
Silver event. Right? Field back wide open, as far as I know.
Yeah, should be.
So we go playoff event, we cut it, we're getting cutthroat, here we go, it's the end of the year. Oh, everyone's back playing silver event. Oh, everyone's back playing a major. Points are worth way more. Oh, another silver event. Playoff event, we're back in it. Like, what the frick are we doing?
I like that voice.
Yeah, I do too.
They do, so USDGC doesn't count for points. So at least after MVP, you know who's in the tour championship. At least they did that.
The very least.
It's weird that we like got into playoff mode just to pop out of it for Worlds and 2 silver events. Silver events especially. Like, Worlds is one thing. I still think it's unacceptable, but it's one thing. Why are you scheduling
silver
events?
Start calling the play-ons instead of the
like,
playoffs,
these silver
am I right?
Events, is he right, these boys? Silver events should be wraparounds. The regular season's over.
Is there going to be wraparounds this year?
I'm sure.
Probably.
But like these 2 playoff events, the regular season's done.
Yeah.
These are wraparound events, what they should be, if you want to do that, if you want to have silver events in between here for players. But it doesn't matter, whatever.
Doesn't matter.
So the cut to MVP, as far as we know, is what? We said 80?
Mm-mm.
50?
Well, it's supposed to be 72.
72.
That's Let me look at the MVP. To be.
I think you can go to registration on
what
here.
What is it actually? Who knows?
And they say what it is. It's a whole different question, right?
It's a whole different question, guys.
Yeah.
Online registration.
Let's start calling the play-ons.
So top 72 is supposed to be it.
Play-on. Yeah.
The problem was D-Glow was supposed to be 80, right?
Mm-mm, 96.
D-Glow was supposed to be 96.
It was. There was 80 registered at one point.
D-Glow was supposed to be 96, but there's players as low as like 170th. Getting in this thing. You also had Manabu Kageyama, highest rated player in the world. He came in 61st or something.
Dang, he's not going to be the highest rated player in the world.
He averaged like 990.
Manabu.
He's
like a drift car driver.
Slid in there and like he hadn't played any Pro Tour events. So was he just like the sponsor exemption for Prodigy or something? Like, I don't understand the playoff model. But anyways, it's top 72. If the line is drawn in the sand, as it should be,
wow,
but
Jake
Mon
takes one spot in.
Yeah, so
unreal.
But you got to remember, we have Worlds.
You've got to remember we
and
have
he's
worlds
also registered for a silver
and
event.
A silver event.
So it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, this is really not a pointless update at this point.
Yeah, should I even do it?
Probably not.
Yeah, I was going to just.
What does it matter yet?
Here's the line, but it doesn't matter. Well, why are we in the playoffs?
I'd be more. It would make more sense to talk about the tour championship
okay,
line.
Okay, we'll
look
at the tour championship line.
Like who went in and who went out.
Presnell almost dropped out. We had no one jumped in, unless someone jumped a ton of spots.
Burridge got closer.
Burridge is now like 20 some points away. So the line is. You have Andrew Presnell. He is the line in 31st. Vino Makkala is in 30th. Chris Clemens is in 29th. Nico LeCastro helped secure his spot.
Yeah.
He's jumped up to 28th now.
Top 15.
Robert Burridge is right at the line, 32nd. Double G is in 33rd, which the line, to be fair, is at 31 because of Parker Welk, who is qualified based on his DDO win.
Yeah.
So the line's at 31, not 32. Something to keep in mind.
Something to think about.
Robert Burridge, Double G, Paul Ulibarri, Eric Oakley, Chandler Kramer, Brody Smith, all on the outside looking in right now.
Very tough to get into the tour championship.
Brody Smith is going to have a very hard time. He is
it's
73 points
it's
away.
It's going to come down to Worlds.
He's
like,
not playing a silver event this weekend, yeah. So his chances are Worlds in the MVP
He's
Open.
He's got to go into the woods in Vermont over five rounds and somehow string together like a top 15.
The good news is he's a better woods player than everyone in front of him. Not true. But he's got a chance. Because GMC does have that one course that's a little more open.
Watch out for sneaky Ulibarri. That's true, it does.
Yuli could definitely Ulibarri sneak
the
in
snake.
There.
What? Ulibarri the snake?
Yeah, Ulibarri snake.
But yeah, so basically, Silas Schultz even, if they have really good performances at Worlds and MVP, there's a lot of players that could get in there. It's just going to take some serious work. I would say the player that is safe, the first player I would call like, yeah, this guy's not going to be bumped out, we'll call Ben Callaway. 23rd.
Oh, Joel's not getting slid out.
Probably not.
Joel's good.
But it's like based on performance, he should be fine with his performance. But 460 is like catchable if he sucked.
True. Okay. I respect
you. See what I'm saying? FPO-wise, let's see if it's anything of interest over here. We have the lines drawn at 19 because I think, Valerie Mantahano has won. So she's auto in. So right now there's a tie between Lisa Fakus and Hannah Wynn. Holly Finley's on the outside looking in.
An actual tie. That's crazy.
Yeah, to 0.25.
What is the tiebreaker? Did we remember from like... No, there wasn't a tie between Paul and Rick that year. It was Rick like got him by a little bit.
Yeah.
I want a tiebreaker and I want it to be like a putt-off on a skyscraper.
So the outside looking in right now, Hannah Wynn, Holly Finley, Rebecca Cox, Alexis Mantahano. That's the outside
Alexis Mantahano is charging, though. She's charging. She's going to sneak in there, I'm telling you.
I mean, she's only 8 points out.
Yeah,
so,
she's going to get in
most
there.
Likely.
Alexis Mantahano is
it's
really
a little bit of a dogfight.
Well.
I mean, Lisa Fakus, with her performance at Diglo, just got in. She moved up two spots. Rebecca Cox just fell out.
Gosh.
So it's going to be a lot of back and forth to see who ends up at the Tour Championship.
Lisa Fakus.
And the two main ones are going to be Worlds and MVP, but the two silvers in between also... Have
getting,
something to
we're
say.
We're getting
about
real
it.
Close to Worlds. Who's ready for a companion stream, huh?
I'm very ready.
I'm ready.
I'm excited.
Hit him with it.
I'm sick of the playoffs, but I'm excited.
I only have one
playoff.
The play-ons.
If you guys don't mind me derailing us for 1 second.
That's fine. I'm about to go to Trevor's Trivia. So.
All right, cool. This is a good time. I think I just thought of the best pressure putting scenario, as in like the best way to put the most, I won't say the most possible pressure.
Yeah,
but
so like point a gun at him.
Very close.
Oh.
So
you take him to New London. You put a one wheel on the line.
Yeah, that's about it.
No, this is also very unrealistic. This is not a real scenario.
Okay.
They're on a platform. Okay. On like in between two skyscrapers. Mm-hmm. All right. So 15 feet and they're on the platform and the basket's right there and like 15 feet away on a different platform. But their platform is held up by ropes. Okay. Like 10 ropes.
Okay.
And every time you miss a putt, one of those ropes get cut.
I'm not putting.
Yeah, well, you have to, I think, in this
You're
scenario.
Just going to stay up there the rest of your life? And you okay, so you're trying to get from one side of the platform to the other side. Every putt you make is 10 feet you can move, and you're 100 feet away.
How far are the putts?
15 feet.
And how many ropes do I have?
10.
This isn't a game.
Is it 10?
This isn't a game. I'm just telling you, like, that would make a lot of putting pressure, right?
Death. Well,
yeah, because you're dying.
Yeah,
you're
death.
Dying.
You basically just said, you know what's scary?
No,
death.
It's, no, it's not just death. You also have the pressure of, like, you're, I mean, thousands of feet in the air.
Right.
Which so is on the other side of that.
Well, right, but like he's saying, like you're also looking it in the eye as well.
You're not just scared of like I'm going to die. You're also scared of I'm terrified of my scenario. Yeah, like of my situation.
Yeah, that you're right. That is scary.
Maybe it's Patreon video.
That's scary. It would be like
I think I'm just rapid firing all 10.
Just start. Just like forehands around the basket.
Just get it over with, because like you don't want to be sitting over that last putt.
You don't want to be sitting over that.
You know
last
what I mean?
Putt.
And you're like, I have to make eight.
Last place I want to be is sitting over that.
And I was trying to balance on a board on one rope.
Like you've made one putt out of the first eight or nine. You have to make nine in a row.
My chest hurts.
I'm just throwing them all just fast and like just either cut all the ropes or I'm there.
Like the one thing about like the Mr. Beast videos that is kind of crazy is that like when him and his friends were doing challenges back in the day, they were already getting rich, so like they started caring less and less about winning an island or whatever. But when they bring in random people, a lot, like that's real life pressure.
It's like, and I can barely make rent, but now I have an island.
Well, and well,
I was
like,
say, here's a question:
it would be cool if we had the ability. Like, I wish we had the ability to be like, okay, Connor, if you make this 30-footer, you get $50,000. And like, you're like, well, yeah, of course you do. But not because of just the monetary thing, but just because I want to see what happens to people under that kind of pressure. I want to know what would happen to me if you put me in front of a 10-foot putt and said, if you make this, you get $1 million. I want to see what my body would do. I would just convulse and shut down. Like, I want to know what it's like to feel that much pressure.
I think that I would go blind.
That's what I'm saying. You just get tunnel vision, then you wouldn't see anything.
If you were like on one of those Mr. Beast challenges, right?
Yeah.
And you win the end results, you win an island.
Uh-huh.
But like the stipulations, you can't sell it, or you like don't know how to sell it.
That's a bummer.
Are you even excited?
No.
Can I rent it out? It'd be a sick Airbnb.
Yeah, that's true.
Is there even a house on it?
You could find a way to make profit off eventually. But yeah, I would not be super excited.
Yeah, I'd be like,
if it was a challenge that was going to cause me a lot of trouble, I would not last.
I mean, if it was like I had the chance of winning $1 million or the island, most of them, then I wouldn't be super excited.
Like, how are you even getting out to the island anyways? We're getting way off task right now.
Well, that's what most of them, Mr. Beast says, like, he gives you cash or the prize. Mm. So like, yeah, some people like say, like, I don't
not
really
a lot
want
of,
the labor
not
game,
a lot of
like
use for an island, because then you gotta get out there.
That's what I was thinking. It's like
a boat.
Now every vacation I'm like obligated to go to my private island, because like you gotta use it.
You're right. No, and it's kind of like, well,
do I really want to go down there?
There's no restaurants.
Like, yeah, I gotta go cook all my food. I have to bring food in on my boat.
I would Airbnb it.
Yeah, but then you got to build on it.
You got to build a house.
Yeah, but you make it back.
And it's another thing where it's like, you can make it back eventually. It'd take a long time.
Depends on where the island is.
Yeah. I have a lot to say about this island, but this is not the setting to do it.
Would you put disc golf course on it?
Yeah, let's bring it back. I'd put an 18-hole course on this island. Make it just like USDGC. Hit him with a hunter.
There you go. I would make it all islands. All island greens. It's just a bunch of hole 17s on the island.
It'd be called the island. I would make them all water carries. There's no baskets. You just have to throw into the water.
I'd have a good time. I'd like to play a disc golf course where it's just floating platforms on a lake, and you have
that would be very
and, you, that and you just you have floating discs. And you just swim up and grab them.
That's what we did.
That would be a very so fun way to play disc
we
golf.
We did a tournament in New Jersey,
yep.
And they had a floating CTP. You just had a bunch of wahoos, put a basket.
Lake Kanepka.
Nope.
What's the end of a putter that floats?
Oh.
The Hydra?
The Hydra. Yeah.
Yeah. They had hydras and wahoos and dragons. They had all the end of Heck a floating yeah. stuff.
All the floaters.
And it was just the CTP. So you throw it and your disc would like float. And it was like once everyone had thrown, whichever one was like closest.
That would be a fun course.
It was very
it's a bunch
fun.
Of platforms, and that'd be so much
Somebody
fun.
Somebody get on that. Come on now.
Come on. Invite us,
Trevor.
To it.
Hit us with it.
Come on, Trev.
Oh, you want to play a little trivia?
Yeah, fan favorite segment. Trevor's trivia. Today's question. You can win an island, but you can't sell it. What do you do with it? Ah, good question, Trevor.
This game's called Which Came First, Chicken or the Egg?
Ooh.
No, it's the disc or the disc.
Okay.
Okay.
You guys are playing against each other.
Yeah, I hate you, Hunter.
But you're obviously, I'm going to name two discs, and you're going to say which one you think came first.
Okay.
As far as PDGA approval date.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. I've got...
Hunter, I don't hate you. You are alive.
I've got six of them, and then I've got a tiebreaker if we need it.
Okay,
all right,
it.
Very first one. We're starting with some Innovas.
Oh, is this a
who's
rapid
going
fire?
First?
No.
Who's going first?
You both can give answers. You are
oh,
answering
you want
the
me
same...
to go first?
No, you're going to... Let's do a one or two hold up at the same time situation. Genius. So that you don't...
But then podcast listeners won't know.
Well, you can, we can say it as well.
This is why, why he's the trivia guy.
We say it as well. We've done this already. It's just better this way, so you're not playing off each other's answers.
Well, why don't we just say the one or two at the same time?
That's fine, too.
That way he's the trivia podcast, guy.
You're right. No, you're right.
That's fine. You can say your answers at the same time. You can just say the name. Anyways. All right. First one. We've got either the Lion or the Corvette from Innova.
Okay.
We'll just have it to you just the name of the disc you think came first at the same time.
I thought I had. I was really confident Lion for a second, and then it went away.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Connor?
I am ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Corvette. Lion.
It was the Corvette.
Yeah. Dang.
2018 versus 2019.
That's
very
what my
close.
Heart said immediately.
The only way I knew it was, one, I remember people throwing in college. One was after college, and the Lion was after college.
The reason why I said it was because that was one felt one. Like the obvious one to my heart immediately. And then I thought, did I see Nate Sexton throw it on coverage before? Like, I saw it at Pro Shops.
I think I
would have
said Lion potentially as well. That's a tough
one. I thought I was trying to go against what my gut wanted. Bad idea. Never bad idea.
All right. Next, we have the Savant or the Shrike. Both from Innova.
I think I have my answer.
Hunter?
Yeah, send it.
3, 2, 1.
Shrike. Savant.
What'd you say, Connor?
I said Shrike.
The answer is the Savant.
Dadgummit.
I remember the Savant being way older than I thought.
2014, and the Shrike was 2016. The Shrike came out right before I went to college, and the Savant, I got in a player's pack item. It wasn't ever popular, but I got it when I was still playing.
I discovered the Savant after I discovered the Shrike.
The Savant was just never very popular. It's an awesome disc.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
People are childish for that. All right, 2-0 Hunter. Okay, next we have the Katana or the Mamba. This is our last Innova.
I have mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
3, 2, 1.
Katana.
Both correct. 2009 versus 2012 for the Mamba.
Okay. That one felt very confident.
I had no idea. I just took a shot in the dark.
I felt confident with that one.
Hunter's still up by 2.
Because I saw a lot of Katanas when I first started playing, and I didn't start seeing Mambas until a little bit later.
Fair enough. We're going to move into Discraft now. We have the Archer or the Crank.
Okay.
Which came first?
Archer. I have mine.
3, 2, 1.
Crank.
Both said crank?
Yeah.
That's correct. 2013 versus 2016.
I can see the crank in the old ESP stamp, and I cannot see the Archer in it, in my brain.
It would have still been in there.
Would it?
2018 is when they switched to ESP.
Did they make an Archer with the old stamp?
Oh, we were getting... Oh, with the stamp, you're saying?
With the old circle stamp.
Wait, what
That was never ESP.
What do you say?
Old ESP. I've seen cranks in old.
Yes,
old
you're
ESP,
correct. I had
never,
one.
Not seen Archer.
You're right.
In old
That's
old.
A good point. I have one.
I
of those
you
cranks.
Meant like before pre-swirly ESP.
No.
Yeah, the old circle stamp, which I actually really
I don't even
like.
Know
I love
seen
that
the ESP
stamp.
Archer. Dude. I just remember the Archer was the Ace Race disc, I believe.
Yes,
it was. Yeah. And the crank wasn't. So
all right, next one we have the Nuke or the Meteor.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Nuke.
Do you guys say Nuke?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're both incorrect.
Wow.
The Meteor was 2006. Wow. The Nuke was 2009.
This is my reasoning for it. I don't have to give my reasoning for
the
all
The Meteor
of
them. Was an Ace Race.
I didn't have any reasoning.
I didn't. Dang, I've never seen
I'm
an
very
Ace
surprised.
Race Meteor. I've never seen an Ace Race Meteor.
Well, it's old. I thought you guys would have gone with Meteor there.
I feel like I've seen all of the Ace Race discs because they all end up getting put in used sections. Like from going because I went to a lot of U sections in Charlotte.
So Connor has to beat Hunter on this one, or else it's over. If he does, we'll go to do the last one to see if he can tie it up.
Okay, so I can tie it up right now
if you get two in a row. All right, we've got the Punisher or the Stalker.
Which one came first?
Which one came first? Punisher or the Stalker from Discraft?
Okay.
All right, I have mine.
3, 2, 1.
Stalker.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That was the largest gap of them all, 2009 to 2017.
That one felt obvious to me, but there was a part of me that was nervous that it was a tricky
Most
one.
Of them, I just remember one of them coming out, and one of them I don't because one of them was before I played.
Same.
Good job, guys.
Was after.
It was a good job.
What was the last one?
The last one was going to be the FD or the TD.
The TD was first.
By 1 year. Yep. Yes, 2010, and then the FD came out 2011.
Because I always thought, how the frick did you make the TD before you made an FD? It doesn't make sense. Turning driver.
Doesn't make any sense.
Turning driver sucked.
Hunter only got one wrong.
Yeah, Hunter's a beast. He's a historical historian.
I'm a disc golf historian in my free time.
Yes. I should have listened to my gut on those
He's
first
He's got the
few.
Almanac. You should have.
He's got the almanac.
I think I would have guessed Lion as well. That was a tough one.
I think it made more sense.
I remember when it came out.
Yeah.
I remember when it came out, too.
Both of them came out.
Then how'd you miss it?
Well, I mean, they came out like within, like, they literally came out less than a year apart from each other, so it's not too crazy.
The joke, he said he remembered when both came out.
No, I remember when both of them came out. I just couldn't remember which memory. I couldn't remember which memory came first, you know?
I definitely knew about the Lion before I knew about the Corvette, but that's because everybody just threw destroyers.
Well, I just remember people. Yeah, my back. I just remember people in college throwing the Corvette.
2018, yeah. And the Lion was 2019. I mean, yeah, it's the same time period. It's just the Corvette. The Lion, like, they pushed a little harder, I think, too. Yeah, and it was like it was a mid that kind of felt like Innova mids were like always going to be a big deal.
The Lion
deal.
Sucked.
And
the Lion was a
V. Stamp.
It's a V Rock. It's just no, the V Rock. It doesn't suck. It's a good disc. I used to bag a V Rock. A DX one in college.
It was a terrible disc. And it feels like a Beluga Whale. It's a mid range.
It's so not though. It's just like it's a fine disc.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Now I'll say this. It's a it flies really well. It doesn't feel as good as like Rocks and.
Ooh, you
and,
know what
like,
feels way worse? Rock Plus.
Rock Plus
not
a good mold. Not
feel good.
Yeah, that's a weird feeling one. But yeah, the V Rock never quite
All
felt
the plus
as good.
There's
an
Eagle Plus too. I think
that's
Taper Plus.
Taper Plus.
What is it? What does the Plus do?
It's the inside rims, like, angled more.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
It feels worse for so many other reasons than
I've never thrown any other than the Rock one, and I didn't really like the Rock one.
No. Well, the Rock had the most potential to be good.
I just thought it was cool. You'd see the T-Bird with, like, the little plus sign. It was a fun little stamp.
The Cobra Plus, too.
Dude, bring back the Cobra.
They also had the V was always just the worst feeling version of the disc.
No. The Super Stingray and the King Cobra.
Cobra was great.
It flew great, but it didn't feel good. That's what
I had one in my bag.
Paul modeled the Rock 3 after the King Cobra. He wanted a rock, something that felt like a rock and flew like a King Cobra.
Mm-hmm.
But they just were weird discs. They had cool stamps, though. The King Cobra.
They're getting back to it with the Alien, man.
Yeah, they're losing their
minds.
Back
to their roots.
Alien's sick, though.
Alien's incredible. You know, I wanted to bring this question up before we get into the thing. We always talk about, like, who has the strongest team? Who has the best young core? Who has the... Mm-hmm. I wanted to flip it on its head.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who has the weakest team going into this offseason coming up soon?
Gateway.
Yeah.
Gateway.
Where do we draw the line?
Gateway. Just Gateway.
Just Gateway? Well, then the answer is
RPM.
Well, like, okay. You can't go like Mint or like you got to have a team.
I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even still,
I know my answer.
On the MPO side, it's pretty tough to argue with Latitude 64, right? But obviously, then the FPO, they have the best player by far. So I think that does a lot.
No, I'm
for
saying
them.
The whole team.
Yeah.
My answer is Lone Star.
Yeah, I think I think that's like an easy one.
Yeah, I feel like that's basically the same thing as saying like Mint.
No, because they have an actual team. Like Mint has like one or two players.
Yeah. Lone Star
like
signed
this offseason. They signed Emerson Keith. They signed Chandler Kramer. They signed Nicola Castro. Robert Burridge.
They're
like,
brand
coming
new.
In. Everyone thought they were going
to
be a big old
team. To be fair, though, considering how new they are, their team is pretty solid. It's definitely not like, I mean, Burridge, LeCastro, and Emerson are all inside of the top 32 in the tour standings right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just looked at it.
Oh.
Or 33 is Burridge.
Yeah, I think.
But Nico
Emerson
and Emerson, he's
25th.
No, he's 25th.
Emerson is?
Yeah.
Because he had, what did Emmer Daddy do?
He's had some good finishes this year. He had like a second.
I think I'm thinking of the world rankings.
No, yeah, in the tour standings, he was 25th. I saw him. So, like, in reality, their team.
Yeah, he's 32nd in the world rankings.
Yeah, their team isn't bad considering they built from scratch.
Mm-hmm. It's just worse than the other teams.
Yes.
I mainly thought it because I saw them. This is what made me think of the entire thing.
Well,
entire
I mean, prompt. How strong is. But, like, DGA only really has.
DGA, I guess it's a weird line because, like, I don't even consider DGA as having a team because they're just an offshoot of Discraft.
But, I mean, they've got a team. They've got players.
But they have a stronger team, more wins.
They have more wins, yes.
Katrina Allen, multiple wins. Cole Rodolin, wins.
Yeah. Well,
I would take DGA over, because I'd take Cole Rodolin over anyone on Lone Star.
Yes.
Future-wise, even.
Sure. Oh, I would take him over a lot of people.
But then outside of that,
I wonder if they'll be able to hang
Gateway
on
was the one I was like, we'll have to rule out Gateway and like Mint and ThoughtSpace, because ThoughtSpace is the same as Team Infinite, and I would take Proctor and Eric Oakley.
I don't know.
I'd take Proctor.
About,
I'd take the proctologist.
Yeah.
Eric Oakley would for marketing wise. But yeah, I just saw
Lone Star has Kramer too, and he's like 37th.
I just saw
that
them.
Okay.
They posted, but who's worse?
Yeah, I don't know. They don't have any stars.
They don't have anyone who's going to win.
I guess what I'm more so saying, if they are the worst team, like that's not too bad.
Stars.
Yeah, they need more loans. If they they just need one of those players, like they just need Burridge to kind of jump into like a top 15 player, and they'd be in pretty good shape.
And any one of those could. They could.
Yeah.
No, they have a lot of guys that could be really good.
Yeah, they're doing okay. Because
they also
themselves.
Have like Lisa Fajita.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just saw they posted and they were like, or they shared their story or someone, they were like, oh my word, check out Team Lone Star this weekend. And it was like all like 20th to like 70th.
They hyped like, up their signings a lot in the offseason. And I think they made some pretty decent quality value signings, but like definitely they didn't grab like we were thinking they were gonna reach out and grab like a big
Well,
big
they
player.
Made a few risky plays, but not really risky because they were very
We also just
cheap,
don't know how much they're yeah.
But it was just like Robert Burridge could have been someone this year.
Yeah, and he's
Emerson Keith could okay. pop off and Yeah, and take you know what I mean. He did win something. That's why he got. What did Emerson Keith win? He won.
Yeah, that's right. He did win an Elite
what the
Series
did he win?
This year. He won.
That's why he's so high.
Where
it was
did
so
he
random.
Win? Yeah. What in the world?
OTB Open.
That's right.
Yeah, it was like the most random one wow. possible.
That is right. Emerson's good for one of those, man. One or two just pop off. Like he'll just like go to Worlds and just. He'll get himself in the mix.
Yeah. But no, that's what made me think of it.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, well,
it's just like coming into the season,
well,
they have a really big team.
West Side's probably worse, though, right? Because they only have Matty O.
I just consider Trilogy
O.
as Trilogy.
I kind of do that, too.
That's just.
I mean, because,
like, Ricky's got signature
that.
Harps. So, like, is Ricky on Team West Side? He's moving West Side. Plastic.
Fair enough. It is all owned by the same people.
Yeah. I think it's very dumb that they're three separate companies.
I think that whenever you said team, I was thinking team
but
Trilogy.
But here's what I'll say, though. If we play Trilogy all as one, and then everybody else is really giants in the industry, I think Lone Star, what they have, is impressive, considering they're only a year in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But someone's got to be the worst team.
I would say that the next closest one to them is honestly could be.
Well, here's what I'll do. Let's look at it this way. I think they're the best niche brand team.
Yeah.
Because I would put them in, I mean, I guess DGA might technically be better, but I'd put them in the same category as the like. But I guess it's weird because they're their own manufacturer. Maybe that's where the weird line is.
Yeah, they're in a smaller category.
Because Gateway doesn't
new.
Really have a pro team.
Mm-mm.
They have Noah Five-ish.
Well, Connor.
And Connor.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
That's about it. It'll honestly just be mostly interesting
maybe
to see.
Maybe that's the line, because like Mint Disc, Thought Space, Irish made by MVP.
It'll be interesting to see if Lone Star, they have potential. It'll be interesting to see if they like go back again this season and try and grab another like big player. Or,
we'll see if Sacred
or if they
Discs,
just kinda,
Nikola Castro's company, picks up some people, man.
That's true, man. Sacred Discs.
I think they drop this week or next week, Sacred Discs.
Something like that.
They're scented.
Something like that.
They have, what was that one mold that feels really good? The gnome.
The golem.
I will say.
The gnome.
Yeah,
the gnome.
I felt.
The gnome feels very solid. We haven't thrown them yet.
I felt them in the warehouse on Friday, and they do feel
None of them
solid.
Feel bad.
No, they
the
don't.
The gnome
they
feels
don't.
Very intriguing.
I like their plastic. I like their
Consider
plastic.
Consider intrigued.
It feels like the plastic kind of feels like.
Gateway.
Like a good run of Gateway. Like
Lone Star plastic. Just gives Gateway vibes.
Their baseline
The baseline does.
Does.
Yeah. Yeah.
The premium's
tough because Gateway gives 55 different vibes. So
yeah, that's why I said a good
you just
run.
Pick
Gateway
up a different,
covers all the vibes.
Yeah, you just got to pick up a different round of diamond and then you'll...
I kind of feel like Gateway diamond. Might be doing... I always think that. I feel like I find myself once a year getting a good run of Gateway and thinking, I think Gateway's starting to really
it's
like...
It's because they sent you a box of hand-picked discs.
Yeah, but like...
They hand-picked those.
But like every... I feel like that's how it is though. Once a year, I feel a couple Gateway discs and I'm like, this like a really good batch. I'm like, I think Gateway's really starting to pay attention to like their...
A
their
good run of
consistent
Gateway...
Consistent quality, and then you start feeling some of stuff and it's not...
A like good run of Gateway is competitive.
A good... Yes, that's
A bad
very
run
true.
Of Gateway is not.
Yeah.
Problem is sometimes the bad outweighs the good.
That's why
Depends
if
on your
you
batch.
Can get some good Gateway, it's a great time.
Yeah. All right, let's finish it out with some power rankings here. Hopefully
that's
Stat Mando is back up and running.
They are, man.
That's the Gateway.
That's Stat Mando.
I messaged Stat Mando last night because I was thinking there's a really popular game right now called Immaculate Grid, and baseballreference.com is the website that started doing it. They have like all the baseball stats, and then Hockey Reference and football and basketball. And basically there's a grid, like a 3x3 grid, and you have to find these players that match like the different, I don't know what you call this kind of like graph or diagram, but like there's like stats and teams that intersect and you have to find a player that
matches. It's like Sudoku for people.
So, yes, it is. So it'll be like, oh, okay, I need to find a player that played on the Orioles and the Yankees or had 50 RBIs and the Yankees. Anyways, I messaged them last night because I was like, I think they need to, they have the database.
Yeah.
If they could do that for disc golf, and it'd be like, okay, you need to find a player who has won 2 world titles and played for Innova or what. It would be a lot of fun.
Why don't you just do that for Trevor's Trivia next week?
A lot of fun. I could. Maybe, yeah. If they don't get back to me, they haven't yet, I'll design the prototype and really give them a good show.
Hit them with it, yeah.
All right, power rankings.
But it's really hard to do without like their database because I would have to find every possible answer for every single one, and that's the hard part.
That is tough.
You need their engine.
Yeah, just give up.
I'm going to give up.
Calvin Heimberg won. Probably fine to stay there.
Big Cal?
He finished in fifth.
Cal's own?
I don't think anyone's jumping
I'm
him.
I'm fine with that.
Gannon, I think, came in 10th.
He did fine.
Ricky came in like 8th.
Fine.
Isaac Robinson, I think he did okay too.
I will say the top; those top guys are really pulling their weight in these power rankings. They're just kind of chilling in the top 20, and that'll get her done.
Eagle McMahon, 5th. He could possibly jump Isaac. Yeah, look at that.
We could give him a spot jumper.
Look at McMahon, Eagle to Robinson, Isaac. This is since May. Eagle's 5-1 against Isaac.
Big eye.
So Eagle's got to jump him.
That's tough for Isaac.
Tough scene to be Isaac Robinson. Just got jumped. Ah! Ah!
Yeah, I would agree.
Because he just got dunked on.
Nice.
All right, then we have Paul in 6th.
Might have to give him a little slippity slide. Well, for sure, Simon's going to jump him.
Simon's going to jump.
This isn't the UDisc Power Rankings, baby.
Let's go Simon versus Isaac.
You got to play disc golf if you want to stay in these rankings.
Let's go Simon versus Isaac real quick since May. Isaac's 4-3. So I think we're fine to slide Simon up to 6th. And bump down Paul and Proctor.
Okay.
That makes sense with you.
That's fine with me, dog. I think Redolin can jump a spot.
Do we jump? Where does Paul land?
I'm okay with him sliding as far as 10th. Because
let's just go Macbeth versus Redolin.
Home dog popped in, won the PCS, and then just popped out.
Paul hasn't faced Cole since May.
Yeah. That's the problem. It's like, that's what I'm saying. He can just chill wherever. I'm fine with him being there. And I'm sure that's going to make things easier on us when he plays in Worlds and MVP and probably does well.
Okay, let's go Redolin versus Proctologist here.
Good idea. Is anybody catching on to that we're just calling him the Proctologist?
Someone asked me to stop.
Not going to happen.
Cole's 6-2 against the Proctologist.
Does James Proctor himself know? I'm sure.
I don't know. Let's go Cole versus Corey Ellis. Someone was like, you realize it's a poop doctor, right?
Yes.
Like, they thought we didn't know what we were calling him. No, we're aware of what the proctologist
That's
is.
Why
it's just his
funny.
Last name's
yeah.
Proctor. Like, how are you not going proctologist? Because
he'd be pooping on the competition.
Yeah.
No, because he finds them gaps.
Yeah, that's what Connor said earlier.
That's right. That's funny.
Okay, so I think James Proctor falls to 9th.
Hit him with it.
Because Cole Redolin can't jump Corey Ellis, but he can jump James Proctor.
Okay. What did Corey Ellis... Was Corey Ellis playing this past event?
No, was he hurt? Or is he just not in here yet? It's just he won a major, so.
That was a few weeks ago, though.
Oh, yeah. It looks as though he did not play it. Oh, yeah, he DNF'd after Ledgestone. He DNF'd at Ledgestone.
His time is a ticking on the power rankings, I think.
Well, he's in 9th right now. No, he's in 7th.
I think that's a too high.
Okay, you want... Well, him and Cole Redolin and him are tied since May,
so I think
Corey Ellis has a major win.
Yeah, but he hasn't played the last two events. I think in the power rankings that hurt. Like we gotta be what the UDisc rankings aren't, which is if you're not playing disc golf, you are sliding.
I agree. With
I don't
that.
Think you need to fall off a cliff, but I think you need to start sliding down those rankings.
With that. You can't be one of the
and
Redolin
is hot
if
right
you're
now.
Not competing.
Right. Like he feels powerful, and these are power rankings. He's powerful. He throws it far.
Okay,
yeah, he's
so
ranked
got,
power.
This is probably good. Then we have Calvin 1. Gannon 2, Ricky 3, Eagle 4, Isaac 5, Simon 6, Cole Redolin 7, James Proctologist 8, Corey Ellis 9, Paul Macbeth 10.
Sounds good, man.
Love it.
Paul might be able to be bumped out, but now.
Well,
FPO,
we'll just be on the right side of history because after Worlds, we'll probably have to be putting him like in the third spot. So
those foundation guys, they knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are predictors.
FPO, we have Kristen Tatar 1, not moving.
Predictor.
Owen Scoggins 2, not moving. Missy Gannon 3, Holland Handley 4, Val Mandahano 5.
So Val played not so good at all.
But she has a win.
She did win very recently. But she's in the five spot. Maybe that's our own fault. We need to take a look at Ella. I think she's been playing
well.
We
didn't have this head-to-head last week.
Yeah, that's true. We were just shooting in the dark. I think we need to go Ella versus Holland first, because I think Holland is the weakest one in there right now.
So Ella Hansen?
Yep, that's the one. Versus Holland Handley. I think you're going to like what we see.
5-5
Now, that surprises me. I'll be honest.
Holland Handley has two second places.
That's a lot of games. Since when?
May.
Let's go a little more recent. Just because I feel like that's trending a certain way. Well, yeah, you don't get to scroll down. Yeah.
No.
Is it not?
Oh, this is more up here.
Yeah.
No.
Is it pretty even?
So, D-Glow, Holland Handley came in fourth. Ella Hansen came in second.
Okay.
Now that, and then Idlewild, Holland Handley came in third. Ella Hansen came in 16th.
Okay.
Ledgestone, Holland Handley came in seventh. Ella came in third. Preserve, Handley came in third.
Okay. It's been, all right. It's been back and forth.
So, Holland Handley's the better player that situation.
It's been back and forth, yeah.
Okay. Anyone else you want to compare to? Valerie Manhano to Holland Handley?
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one because...
No, they're... I mean, 2-4-1.
Yeah.
But one has... But Valerie has a win.
I think we probably leave it how it is for the...
The only other one we can look at is let's go Missy Gannon.
Yeah, well, Missy also just had a win and has been very good. Like, she's going to be
Missy Gannon's tied with Holland, but with a win.
Yeah. I think we let it chill.
And... Okay, so I think we're fine there. Kristen, Owen, Missy, Holland, Val.
Makes sense to me.
Boom. That's the power rankings. All right, there's a silver event this weekend, so no preview show. We'll talk about the results from it next Monday, and then ramped up for Worlds Week. Companion stream, all kinds of fun stuff for the World Championships. You're not going to miss out on that. They're up in Vermont. It's going to be a good time, and we will talk to you again next week.
I could go casual chic or dress for success.
With so many looks, picking out what to wear can be difficult. But with Walmart, picking out a fresh pair of glasses is easy.
Maybe it's an athleisure day.
That's because Walmart has top brands and styles for you to choose from. So it's easy to find the right frames for whatever you're feeling.
Here's my outfit of the day and the perfect pair of cat eye frames to match.
New glasses to make your styles pop. Welcome to your Walmart. Valid prescription required.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.